Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2020, a new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Pardon me while I go all groupie on your ass. I couldn't help myself. He got here first. I came downstairs and I said, look at you. You're...
Yeah, right here waiting.
Right there waiting for...
Okay,
yeah.
He did the joke first, so I didn't have to... Richard Marks!
Yeah!
Richard Marks!
It was... The punchline was right there waiting, actually.
Yes, it was.
I love that you have a sense of humor about a joke that you've heard 70 billion times.
That one doesn't get old. You know, my wife and I will be... You know, if I'm dropping her to run into the store or something,
yeah,
she'll go, maybe I'll just be like 10 minutes. I always go, I'll be right here waiting for you.
Never gets old. Wouldn't get old to me. Spoiler alert, Richard is married to Daisy Fuentes.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you get residual every time somebody says that, though?
You
That's
should.
A great idea.
Yeah.
I had forgotten.
Let me get my attorney on the phone. Can I trademark that?
Exactly.
I love someone wildly talented with a sense of humor, because I had forgotten. I also fell in love with you again on Twitter because you're such an anti-Trumper.
Yeah.
I wore my Fuck Trump t-shirt.
I love
you.
That.
But I had forgotten it is hard to win Twitter. But I remember the Trump tweet now after Helsinki, right? When he said of next to Putin, of course, he said, I don't see any reason why Russia would have been involved in election interference. And then he tried to correct it. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia, sort of a double negative.
He said, I misspoke.
Yeah. And so then you said, I misspoke. I meant to say, I wouldn't be right here waiting for you. And that was, yeah. it blew up Twitter.
Yeah. It was the biggest hit I've had in years, actually.
Didn't other musicians then chime in and say, I meant to say, with other famous songs. Yeah. Yes.
Diane Warren, you know, who's an incredible songwriter.
Yeah. Friend of ours.
She followed that. She quoted mine and put, I do want to miss a thing.
She's been right there in that chair for happy hour, name drop. And you name dropped the second you got in here. I did not know you are a good friend of my, we have a very good mutual friend, Shelley Wright.
Yeah, she's the best. She's one of my favorite human beings.
Me too. And you've written with her and almost every other amazing songwriting human in the world.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I've worked with amazing people.
Well, I'll get to all that, but we were just talking about how we've been talking to everybody about their Trump stress and whatever, and we were saying Shelley just publicly came out, and you and I both didn't know. She kind of kept it private that she'd had a stroke.
Yeah.
And so she was dealing, again, talk about life stress, health stress on top of Trump stress.
Right.
So God bless her. She's just such an inspiration, I think, to not just to gay people, to artists, but I mean, just that she came out as she always does and talked openly about that.
Yeah.
At her age, she was like 47 or something.
Yeah, and she's, you know, I mean, to my knowledge prior, and we're pretty close friends, I don't know if you know, she was a major cyclist. Constantly riding her bike in New York City.
I know.
So I always found her to be, you know, fit.
Oh, and crazy, healthy,
but
fit.
But it's just some crazy shit happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But she's great. She seems fine.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay. So I, what degree of my losing my shit, and you've seen me lose my shit, Travis.
Yes.
When, I don't know, someone said, hey, Richard Marx, you should do Stephanie Mills Have You Ever, then, like, he responded, and I was like, Richard Marx says it! Richard Marx!
Well, somebody tagged me in it, and I knew about the show, so I was like, okay, sure, call me. I'm right here waiting.
You did. You said it again. You did it. You did it.
Did it yourself.
I didn't actually mean to do it that time.
But anyway, so it's because I don't know, like I say, I fell in love again on Twitter. I mean, obviously from your, we'll get to all your millions of hits and all that stuff, but you are so prolific on Twitter and so fantastic.
Yeah.
I keep saying, how can you not be political in the age of Trump? But is that what politicized you, or were you always?
Yeah, no. It shifted into overdrive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very much an independent. I remember when I was young, and, you know, of course, looking back and researching and knowing more as you're older, I look back on the Reagan day. That was really the first president as an adult that I was aware of.
Right.
I remember Carter before that.
Yeah, me too. We're about the same age. So, yeah, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I remember Carter, and I remember thinking that he was a shitty president, which I still, in retrospect, think he was a pretty shitty president, but that he became such a wonderful statesman and what such a
humanitarian
great humanitarian, like he's just he strikes me, has always struck me, post presidency is that's the way to talk about
he's the best ex-president we've had.
Anti-Trump, right? Like he does everything for others,
right? He's a compassionate wonderful seems like a wonderful man. So I don't have, I'm not partisan, I'm not you know, there's at this stage of the game,
I don't think Trump is it's being partisan, isn't it? Just being an anti-awful human being.
No, I absolutely agree. My point was that not being partisan, it's not as if I'm passionately supportive of anyone in the Democratic Party.
Right.
There's nobody that I think is just an amazing person. I have friends who you know, tell me why they love Elizabeth Warren or this person or that person. I'm not passionate about anybody on that side, but whoever it is going to be my choice, obviously, because this we're dealing with an antichrist. That I've never seen anything like it, and I've never seen a level of somewhere between apathy, which is bad enough, which normally decent people being apathetic to this behavior and this rhetoric, to people that really are now getting to unleash their previously hidden bigotry and racism and misogyny and just
let the genie
awfulness.
Out of the bottle. Just it's okay to be a fucking dick to everybody of any race.
And
of
don't
any-
you do you find, or are we just imagining it, that people generally that you encounter day to day are more asshole?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And they film it and they're proud of it. Yeah. Look at this Martha McSally. Just, you know, fuck you liberal hack. Like, what, I mean, what senator behaves
that
way?
And then she goes on TV and goes, "I just call it like it is."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, and no, fundraises off of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Speaking of which, I love that people are dicks to you on Twitter and you're still funny. Because, first of all, can I just take a second to say, you are still smoking hot. You look the same. You're still churning out hits. Look at your hair. I just want to run my fingers through your hair.
You can.
Look at your body. Okay.
That's not the 80s hair, though.
No, it's...
Dude, that would be wrong.
Look at his body. Look at his face. He's,
that would be wrong. When people come up to me, they go, your hair is so different than the... Yeah.
Yes.
I'm 56 and it's 2020. So the mullet was probably ill-advised.
That's what I love about Kathleen Turner. She's like, fuck off. I don't look like I did when I was 20. So 60 now.
Right.
But I mean, let's go. The hits. I mean, all of my favorites. Endless Summer Nights. Mm-hmm. Hold On to the Nights. Right Here Waiting, obviously. Now and Forever. But then all the other stuff. I don't know that I knew how many people you've written with. I Promise You by NSYNC. I got to tell you. Because my dad, who ran with Goldwater, and by the way, that's why I voted for Reagan, because I was a little baby Republican family kid. Mm-hmm. But Dance With My Father, that you wrote with Luther Vandross, I did not know you co-wrote. I have never heard that song without weeping.
Yeah.
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 Because my mom's still here, about to turn 97.
Oh, wow.
Without my dad. And for like 40 years, longer than she was with him. They were together 40 years. And but anyway, that stuff, you've written songs I know... In Honor of Your Mom, and obviously that was it won a Grammy, right?
Yes.
Dance With My Father won a Grammy. But then you crossed over to Long Hot Summer with Keith Urban, so that means you wrote or co-wrote a top hit in the charts in four different decades.
That's
extraordinary.
I told you I'm old.
I didn't mean it that way.
No, but, I've been really, like I said, I've been really fortunate that separate from the singing career and the performing career, that the songwriting career just sort of maintained. You know, it's really how I started before I had a record deal. When I was young, the first hit I ever had was with Kenny Rogers back in 83, a couple years before I even had a record deal.
Yeah.
And then I just never stopped collaborating with other people.
Mm-hmm. How do you collaborate in so many different styles? It seems like co-writing is such a... the fact Keith Urban, Shelley Wright, and over to Luther Vandross, and how do you... NSYNC, I mean...
It's because I'm really, really talented.
Yes, well, that's what I was going to say, but thank you for preempting your point, Richard.
No, you know what it is? And it's actually, all jokes aside, it's the single most proud... part of it's the thing I'm the most proud of. In that, all humility aside, that I've had success on so many different charts.
But how do you find someone else's voice in a different genre that consistently?
Because I love all different kinds of music. I've always been a student of all different genres. So I grew up in high school. I loved rock music, like rock bands like Journey and Queen and the singer songwriters Billy Joel and Elton. And but my favorite music was Earth, Wind & Fire and R&B, especially 70s R&B.
Yeah, we just lost my good friend Allie Willis, who wrote a lot of the hits for Earth, Wind & Fire.
She wrote September, for fuck's sake.
Fucking body, man.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know that story, right?
Yeah, tell the story.
She was...
In honor of Allie. Yeah.
She was, that was the first song that she got to write with Maurice White, who was the leader of Earth, Wind & Fire, and who I was friendly with, and got to work with a little bit, and he was just the most amazing guy, and maybe my favorite singer of all time. I love Philip Bailey, that sings all the high stuff in Earth, Wind & Fire, but Maurice White, who was the lead singer and the leader of the band, was just brilliant. So she got this opportunity to write with Earth, Wind & Fire, and it turned out to be Maurice and another guy. And when she walked in, she said they already had this groove going, and the melody was kind of there, so she was really there to help write the lyrics.
Sure.
And so they'd get to the chorus, and Maurice was like, "Body-a, la, 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 body-a." So I think she was like, "What about, dancing in September?" So then they start to pull that lyric together. And at one point, she turned to Maurice and said, "Yeah, but what are we going to put in place of this body-a?" And he's like, "No, it's going to be body-a."
Huh.
And she went, "You can't say body-a." And he went, I'm fucking saying body up.
And she said, what does that mean? He goes, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And she said, that's where I learned to never let a lyric get in the way of the groove.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And I've gotten to body out with her. So my life is complete. No, I was saying, the highlight of my life, I got to listen to the music to Color Purple in her home studio before she went to Broadway.
Oh, wow. With
it. And it's just, the process you geniuses go through is just, you know, the stuff that we have no talent for, I think is the stuff that you just like.
Yeah.
Stare at you going, how the fuck did you do that, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know other songwriters who would say anything different. We don't know how we do it.
Yeah.
I think that, like Diane, for example, from my knowledge of her, and we wrote together a million years ago, we wrote a piece of shit song. We were both like babies. We were both starting out.
Yeah. But, Diane Warren.
But she, yeah, Diane Warren, but yeah. She, to my knowledge, still goes in that room for 6, 7, 8 hours a day and just sort of like, I've never written that way. I just, it has to be like I'm driving in my car and boom, I hear this melody in my head or a lyric, yeah, or whatever. And it has to, it's all inspiration versus perspiration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, other than that, it's like, I look at every song, literally every song that I've written, and I'll look at it later and I'll go, how the fuck did I do that?
Right. But it is,
I don't remember. I don't remember having that thought.
It right, you can't explain happened. Inspiration or passion. You know, I met her. So I'm at a party, you know, a mutual friend. I walk into the kitchen, and she's literally with her iPhone, and she's like dancing. And I just walk in. She didn't know who I was. She just goes, "Listen to the song. Gaga's singing the shit out of this." And it was, you know, If It Happened to You,
right?
You know, from the film. Mm-hmm. And but you could tell, like, she's all by herself in the kitchen at a party, but she just was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking good. And I was like, oh my God, you're Diane Warren.
Yeah.
But, or at least I think I said the other Warren. And she's like, no, the other
Warren. Warren Beatty?
No. No. Although there is a resemblance.
Oh. Stephanie.
No, but anyway, yeah, she, also a genius. You know, I'm not sure with even my Christmas nap face, I can keep up with how dreamy, hunky Richard Marx is still. Right?
Right.
That means time for Plexiderm Break.
Okay.
Ooh.
Don't tell him.
He'll be right here waiting for you while you do that.
He's writing music. His headphones are on. He can't hear. Okay. Plexiderm. Right?
Yeah.
It is, I'm telling you, new face, new year for me. And also, I learned the importance of a product afterwards.
Yep.
Right? Maintenance, whether you're younger and you're trying to keep it that way, mm-hmm, whether you've had a little Christmas nap like Mama. If you haven't had one, there's an even better reason. Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, wrinkles, crow's feet, bags, they're all magically disappear within 10 minutes. It's a whole new you. No surgery, no Botox involved. You've got to see these results to believe them. It goes on clear. No one even knows what you're doing under there, up in there. Right?
Up in here, up in here.
Right. Under eye bags, wrinkles, boom, gone. Bye-bye bags and wrinkles. Try Plexiderm.com. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL. Here's, I got to tell you, this stuff can be expensive. Any good face product can be really expensive. This deal is an amazing. This is not just some like cold cream. This is an amazing clinically studied serum. Check this out. You go to triplexiderm.com, type in sexy liberal. You get 50% off plus an additional $10 off.
How can you go wrong?
Shop around at these kind of products, yeah, is all I'm telling you. This is not just a moisturizer. This is an unbelievable product, mm-hmm, that it's magic in a bottle. You've got to try it. 50% off plus an extra $10 off. See if I'm lying or call them 800-685-1292. Mention the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it with Mama. Why not, right?
That's right.
Visit triplexiderm.com. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That is triplexiderm.com. Join our Sexy Liberal Army. Type in sexy liberal at triplexiderm.com. Oh, hello, Richard. But no, this is why I love your sense of humor on Twitter when people call you a has-been. Because I'm like, first of all, you've written like a million hits and continue to. And look at you. You look the same. Anyway, somebody had written to you and said something and then gave sort of a thoughtful response that obviously I wasn't serious. You're part of the soundtrack of my youth. What good would a refund do, regardless of the flaws in your politics? Best wishes with all your future art. You said, I appreciate your more thoughtful response. I would, however, like to ask you a serious question. You call me divisive because I criticize Trump, those who blindly worship him. Can you give me any example of Trump trying to unite Americans in a bipartisan way? I don't see any response from him.
Nope. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Insert crickets meme here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is. Who's this guy? People used to say the same thing about people that listened to you when you were popular. Kids can be dicks. No idea what your excuse is. You said, funny, I was never impeached, never paid off a porn star with campaign funds, never banned brown people from the U.S., never called women ugly, never mocked war veterans, never embezzled money from my own charity. Normal people find these things disgusting. What's your excuse?
Oh!
I mean, you don't just
really
engage.
Where's the lie?
You engage and fucking set your taser to, you know.
I will say this, though. What, do you have more? Talk about greatest hits.
Yeah. Right.
No, I loved your zombie picture. We stand with Donald Trump.
Actually, I tried to write it in a certain way that we stand with Donald Trump. We stand with Donald. I tried to have that cadence to
in
it.
In zombie speak.
I will say that there's no upside in me doing that.
Yeah.
And so I don't really think it's harmed me in terms of my career, but it's certainly not. I mean, there are
your Grammy. Okay, let me reply to that tweet now.
Actually, we did shots out of it on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Off tequila. We did tequila shots.
That's the way to do it.
That's how Daisy Fuentes rolls.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to clean out the Grammy and we're going to do tequila shots out of the fucking Grammy.
And we
all did it.
I want to party with you too because she's also funny on Twitter.
Yeah.
She just tweeted the whole Gwyneth vagina scent candle thing has gone viral and is a huge hit. I'm immediately putting in production a very big candle called Dick by Richard Marx. It'll smell like money. It's all in the name and size. I'm taking 70%.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I texted her. I can't tell you what I texted her, but It was awesome.
Yeah.
My other favorite tweet of hers was somebody had she chimed in on somebody being abusive to me or something on Twitter.
Yeah.
And calling, of course, it's like at second grade they call me Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which I call myself Dick all
the
time.
Funny.
But this person said something about Dick, and then a nice person who sort of defended me and Daisy was in the thread said, I mean. Also, like, how do you get Dick from Richard? And Daisy went, you ask him nicely.
Oh! Life is awesome.
He just won.
She's fucking awesome.
There has got to be a Daisy Fuentes happy hour in our future, is there not?
Oh, you guys would have so much fun with her.
Well, and she's friends with, she worked with John Fugelsang.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We did his show a year ago.
Okay. Make this happen. Okay. Make this happen.
We love John.
Yeah, he calls in every Friday.
Every Friday.
Yeah. One more comeback. Someone said, why do I have to have this washed-up singer in my timeline? You said, oh, you poor, miserable, bitter Trumpkin. If you were ever lucky enough to be as washed up as I am, you wouldn't even ask for a towel. I'm taking classes in burn and shade from Richard and Daisy.
He'll teach you how to fight the trolls off on Twitter.
Man. Also, explaining the Constitution, you had to say, there's no trial in the House, Donnie Bob. Can someone please explain how government works to the motherfucking president? I literally, when we think we can't even anymore, and then we have to fucking continue to
No,
can,
it's been normalized.
It has.
His stupidity, let alone the horribleness, like the morally bankrupt behavior, his stupidity has become normalized.
It's the idiocracy. Richard, are we stuck in this forever? I mean, is this the new normal? Are we just...
I don't know. I don't know, but it's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
It's super fucked up. You were from Chicago, which I love.
Yep.
I love Chicago. So I didn't even know anything. Started your music career at the age of 5. You were 17, living in Highland Park, when a tape of his songs ended up in the hands of Lionel Richie, who said, I can't promise you anything, but you should come to L.A.
Wow.
That hardly ever works out. You're like, thanks a lot,
right.
Lionel.
Right. It's true.
And I can't meet you dancing on the ceiling. Okay. Yeah. All right. But good luck.
But it did work out.
It did. Yeah.
I'm still friends with Lionel, and it's fun to be friends with him because when you call him, he picks up the phone and goes, hello.
Hi. I've never had someone get to the dumb jokes before me.
Yep.
You're my soulmate.
Now, Lionel Richie is just... I owe
and
him.
I don't even care about your ginormous dick because I'm gay. So I'm in love with you for other reasons. For dumb joke reasons.
Lionel Richie is... I could spend an hour just praising him. Talk about a really wonderful guy.
Yeah. That must have been amazing at 17.
Fuck.
Hello now, Lionel Richie.
And he had me sing. He hired me to sing on his first solo album, and then the... I sang on All Night Long on the second album. And he would just, but aside from just giving me a
Daisy
job.
Daisy has a joke about that, I'm going to guess. About All Night Long.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. That she could.
Of course. Except it ain't a joke.
Yeah.
But he not only hired me, and which gave me a little bread, you know, when I was young.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying to me, listen, I'm making this album. And this
I thought you were name dropping again. I thought you were, I would give anything I own. I thought you were that kind of bread, but you meant money bread. Oh. Sorry. Well, I thought we were on to another name drop.
It's 2020. Name dropping bread is probably not.
They were my favorite.
Most impressive. I love them too. David Gates. Brilliant. No, Lionel offered me this opportunity to just be in the room to watch. Like he said, if I'm in this room, meaning the studio, if I'm in this room, you're welcome to be in this room anytime.
Wow.
Whether you're here to sing or... So I would just go there every day because I didn't have another job. Mm-hmm. And I just would watch him make records. And I learned... It was like going to hit record school.
Masterclass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
Wow.
The way he dealt with musicians, the way he would refine songs, the way he would sometimes even... And I think the great artists are all consistent about this. They ask the room, like, what do you think? Do you think this or this? Or, you know, they're not so myopic. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy.
Wow. So when he would say hello, would you say, yes, it's me you're thinking of. Okay, let's get through the joke so I can get to the
It's me you're looking for, yeah.
Have a demo.
It's Dick you're looking for.
What?
No, different thing.
But so that led to singing backing vocals for artists. That's how you got to Kenny Rogers, right? You overheard Kenny Rogers say he needed a new song, and then within days you gave him the demo of Crazy.
Yeah, but I met Kenny through Lionel. Lionel recommended me.
Wow.
Kenny Rogers. So again, it comes back to Lionel.
That's a recommendation.
Well, Lionel wrote Lady for Kenny Rogers, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. I knew that.
Wow. Just your second album, Repeat Offender, that rose to number one on Billboard. This is, I think, extraordinary on Billboard's album chart. Eventually sold over 5 million albums. You've sold 30 million albums worldwide, right? Roughly. But I mean, okay. Platinum selling was Right Here Waiting and Satisfied. Mm-hmm. Both reached number one. The latter nominated for Best Pop Vocal at the Grammys. Now when I look at your trajectory from 5 to 17, like, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's really young to have broken out like that. But you know, maybe it didn't feel that way to you, did it? Or
No, it was all sort of like, when I was a kid, my father was a jingle composer and producer.
Oh, cool.
Oh my God, I love it.
And he wrote and produced all these famous commercials that if you're over 45, you would know.
Like?
Yeah.
Scoops of raisins in a package of Kellogg's raisins.
And Brian.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one. Yeah.
Oh, you know what else he did? Ask any mermaid you happen to see, what's the best tuna
chicken of the sea?
There you go.
Sorry, I was the off-key one.
So my parents, my mom sang on a bunch of those commercials. And then when I was a little kid, my dad would get occasionally hired to do a kid-oriented commercial, like breakfast cereal or a candy bar or whatever.
A toy.
And they just knew from me singing monkey songs around the house that I could carry a tune. And so they brought me in, and I started doing commercials when I was a kid every once in a while. And so I sort of grew up in the recording studio, so it was a really comfortable place for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So by the time I moved to L.A. and I'm getting a chance to work with Lionel, it wasn't like I was a deer in the headlights. It was
you
like
knew
I
how
was
things
a,
were.
I was already a studio veteran. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Did your doorbell at home have, was it a jingle? Just
oh, that would have been a great idea.
Reach the marks. It's, okay. I don't know. Wow, this is another random fun fact that I'd forgotten about you. In 2016, you helped Korean air flight attendants pacify an unruly, intoxicated passenger.
I remember that story now that you say that.
Isn't that like you're doing that to the whole country now? Like, right? The country is full of just, whether they're drunk or not, just
awful people.
Just awful people that have drunken Trump Kool-Aid. What? So what was that like? What happened?
I remember that story.
What happened? What happened?
It was
to your
awful.
Superhero?
It was I was on tour. Daisy was with me, and I was playing in Southeast Asia, and I played a show in Vietnam for the first time, which was amazing. And we had played in Seoul maybe a few days before, but we were flying home, and we had to go through Seoul to go to L.A.
Yeah.
And so on the flight from Vietnam to Seoul on Korean Air, it was like a six-hour flight. We got on the plane. We were in the third row. You know, the two seats on this side, and then there were two seats on the, it was the back row of first class. And this guy, in the window seat across from us, young Korean guy, was clearly drunk. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he was high on some other shit. He might have been. But he very quickly, within 45 minutes, was abusive to the guy next to him, who he didn't know.
Yeah.
Actually slapped him across the face at one point.
Right.
And so it was a completely, it was an all-female flight crew. Young Korean girls, ladies. And he ended up going up to the galley and yelling, and it started to get like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah.
And it's all happening in Korean, so we don't really know. I don't know whether he's saying, look, I'm sick, I need you know, help, or I'm gonna fucking take this plane down, or we don't know what he's saying. But and so everybody's a little on edge, and we're just saying, I'm starting to get a little annoyed on top of everything else, because he's just such a fucking dick, you know. And I'm watching, and the curtains are, the flight attendants closed the curtains in the galley.
You just said, I'm making a fucking dick, citizen's arrest.
Yeah, basically. And at one point, he's yelling at them and yelling at them, and I just instinctively, like I think most people would do, I wanted to like find out what was happening. And I start to get up, and Daisy goes, sit the fuck down. What are you doing? And I was like, oh, this guy's like out of control. Like, I need to know what's happening. She's like, please, please, just. And so right at that moment, he shoves one of the, him shove one of the flight attendants, and I'm up.
Yeah.
And there's two guys in the front seat, in the front row. And as I come up, they get up, and we all just went in, and we ended up tying him up to his seat.
Huh. Wow.
It turned out that the flight attendants were completely unprepared for something like this.
Right.
Yeah. They had a taser, which somebody got the taser, but they didn't know how to.
Oh God!
It's almost like a clip, like a regular, you know.
Yeah.
I've never seen a fucking taser in my life, in real life. Like she looking at me like, you think I know how to use a fucking taser? I'm a songwriter. You know what I mean? But get his ass in the seat, and I'll help tie him. So I ended up. He started to shove somebody else, and I grabbed him around the throat, basically, and my wife, along with three other people in first class, are filming everything. Well, you want to get as many likes on Instagram as possible.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's all about doing the right thing, meaning getting the most likes on Instagram.
But you know what? It was like, we joke about it now, but it was a terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
It was awful.
No, well, I bet.
And they landed, and the guy did go to, you know, the police came on the plane. But the whole thing was handled so badly by the airline.
Yeah.
They were very nice, you know, ladies, but they were completely clueless.
Yeah. Momentarily
when you need
someone, but it doesn't like.
But
for
when
a long
you
term.
Need passengers to intervene,
yeah,
yeah,
you're not fucking prepared.
Well, let me tell you, airlines these days they get in some shit when it's like, oh shit, that was John Legend and Chrissy Teigen,
right? Right.
Oh shit, that was Richard Marx. They have like how many millions of Instagram followers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens, right? When it happens and there's a celebrity on the flight and
it's like,
then they do the right thing.
What did you use to tie him down?
Somebody found that one of the flight attendants found some like it was rope.
Okay.
And at one point there's a picture of me somewhere holding the rope, waiting for, like as they're starting to tie his feet, and he's kicking and spitting at people, and somebody said to, one of my friends saw the picture and said, "Do you carry rope with you?" And I went, "Dude, no, they had fucking rope on the plane, man."
Who knew they had rope on a plane?
Yeah. Wow.
All right, so let's get on to your exquisite taste in women. Obviously, you're a fan of my show, and which is why you're here. Daisy Fuentes, who we all love. I did not know this. You were married to Cynthia Rhodes from in 1989, from the dance chick in the movie, Staying Alive, Flashdance, Dirty Dancing. She was in your first video. You have three sons together. It's so hilarious because I did not know you were married to Daisy. I hadn't like sort of put all this together, but anyway.
Not at the same time.
Right.
Yes.
I was married to Cynthia and now I'm married to Daisy.
No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand there was a divorce and then, whatever.
It was done the right way.
But you have three sons. You have sons with, kids with Daisy as well.
No.
Oh, no, it's three sons. And how old are they now?
29, 27, 26.
Oh, my God. You don't look old enough. What is the rock star thing? What happens with the body stays the same in the hair? What's
Vanity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, take it. I'll take it. What? So what about activism? We were saying, Travis and I were talking about, you're all for doing anything. I mean, shooting victims. Do you know?
You just did a fundraiser for up at the high school up in Saugus. Yeah.
What I mean, what causes, what sort of got you into that sort of activism? Because you said sort of Trump made it political, but I mean.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I think it's, you know, the minute anybody has success, whether it's as a singer or as an actor or what, in the entertainment business, you get asked to do things.
Yeah.
And when I was, I had my first hit out, Don't Mean Nothing, in 1987. And I think the first thing was this, a young 16-year-old cancer patient in New York City at NYU Medical Center. And I ended up going and meeting her and became friends with her. She lived maybe like almost a year after I met her, and I just fell in love with her. She was so cool, really inspiring. And I just found that from that point on, I kept getting asked to be involved, whether it just be come sing a song at this event, or can you donate some royalties to this or whatever. And I just feel like I've gotten so much out of being a part of things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just, you know, sometimes you get, my manager will go, do you really want to go do a concert so this private school can get new uniforms for their soccer teams? Like, no.
Yeah.
But, I've just sort of gotten asked to be involved with all kinds of really amazing organizations
and
people. And the hard thing is, like, those kind of events, we did one, Thousand Oaks as well, like a little over a year ago. It was me and Ario Speedwagon at the Performing Arts Center in Thousand Oaks.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, was that for the Country Bar that was shot?
The Borderline.
Yeah, yes. Borderline Bar and Grill. Yeah.
Yeah. So the parents of those kids were there, and we had a private meeting with them, and it was just like, I don't want to fucking do that.
Again, yeah.
It's
talking about that. We have so much damage to undo from this crook in the White House, and so many issues, whether it's that, whether it's climate change, it's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have, what are your predictions on whether we turn this around and how we turn this around?
Oh, God.
The damage.
I have no idea. And even if Trump is not reelected, I think that the stink is going to be on everybody for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I have to believe, the optimist in me believes that whether it be sooner or later, whether it's 5 years from now or 20 years from now, that this period will be regarded by historians as a horrific, like one of the worst.
Yeah. Darkest
times.
Periods.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, I hold myself accountable in the ways that I am accountable for. I've become way less patient with assholes, and I'm it's really tough to maintain I just try to kind of separate it, like I forget how you mentioned it in the very beginning of this, but you said something about Trump stress.
Yeah
I don't suffer from that that I'll see something or I'll read something or I'll hear something and I'll get outraged, and then I'm over it in 90 seconds. It doesn't. Okay. I don't think about it later. My life way too good.
You compartmentalize.
Right. Okay. But for people that don't have a giant dick and don't get to fuck Daisy Fuentes all day, do you have any other tips that are a little more?
Well, if you're combining those, to my knowledge, I'm the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no one.
That's
else.
My point. And that's It's a little specific. Your Trump stress tip.
And drink tequila shots from your Grammy.
True.
Yeah.
Not everyone has one of those.
Nope.
I mean, if you just put those things together, really, what do I have to complain about?
Exactly.
You
know what I'm saying?
Your suggestions are a little top 1%, but okay.
Yeah. These are definitely first world problems.
Right.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I know people who live and breathe hating Donald Trump from the minute they wake up to the minute
they go to
sleep.
We have to do this for a living. So I get it. Believe me, I wish I could turn it all off.
Yeah.
But you're right. But you know, you obviously take care of yourselves. I was talking about, I've done a health reset in the new year. Like, whatever you have to do, we keep talking about that. Like, and you always reach out and help other people, you know, like we were talking about. I love, one of the favorite things you did for a friend is Hugh Jackman's one-man show in San Francisco. He did a surprise guest appearance at the end, and he's saying, I'll be right here waiting for Hugh.
Which
is, come on, that's funny. It's funny. It's very sweet to do for your friend, Hugh Jackman.
He's actually, he is doing it right in a way that I've never seen anybody else do it. He has not lost one shred of his kindness or humanity. He's the least affected superstar I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's maybe the nicest person I've ever met.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Truly.
My husband got to go on a trip with him. It was a work friend to Tokyo. And he said that he could not say nicer things about him.
No.
He said he was just the greatest person he's ever met.
I mean, he and I met like around 2004, and we ended up working together on a project that never really came to fruition. But so through that year, we became really close friends, and we've maintained this great friendship. And we talk all the time. But I'll give you an example. So I forget what the circumstances. We were working on something together, and we flew from Chicago to New York together. And we landed at JFK, and he had arranged, or his assistant had arranged a car to take us to the city. And this driver gets out, who had driven Hugh once before, and said, "Mr. Jackman, hi." And Hugh went, "It's Nick, right?"
Wow.
Wow.
And he went, "Yes." And, "Oh, how are you?" And we get in the car, and I turned to him. I said, "You're such a fucking asshole."
Like, you make really? Everyone else look bad.
Really? I was like, "Really? What the fuck, man?"
No, I have a friend that like helps random homeless people, gets them hotel rooms, buys them clothes, gets their dogs spayed. Fucking, I don't
know. That makes us all look like assholes.
She takes care of feral cats in a neighborhood she moved out of 2 years ago. I'm just like, stop it.
But that's true. Like,
everyone's a dick next to you.
And Hugh is I think he's got that chip that he remembers people's names.
Yeah.
So like he has that, or he's developed that practice where he associates a face and a name. Like I've never seen him forget anybody's name, and I give him shit about it all the time.
But you know, I think we've raised a really important point. Even if you are not Wolverine, or you do not get to fuck Daisy Fuentes every day, you can still be a good person, one person at a time.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But don't you also...
Like, just like be a nice person, help other people, and I think you're right. It's like one person at a time.
Right.
Even like claiming back those friends and family members that fell into this horrible cult, right?
Right. I also believe that, you know, I'm a huge believer in manifestation. Huge. Because it just is what it is. It's like my whole life has been one manifestation after another, good and bad.
Yeah.
And I found that just in the ways that I've tried to corral that ability to manifest, it's the same thing as like, because I travel all the time, right? If I'm in a pissed off mood and I go up and I am expecting this to be a nightmare of a fucking experience at Delta Airlines.
Yeah.
I'm going to project that and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas I've noticed that if I get out of the car and I'm going into the airport and I'm going up to the ticket counter and I see the ticket agent, and if I go, "Hey, how you doing?" Everything changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole experience all of a sudden becomes more positive because first of all, no one approaches them like
that's what I'm saying. Like, love trumps hate, random acts of kindness, whatever you want to call it. When you say, how do we, you know, all these people that feel like you're just enabled to be a racist, sexist, homophobic asshole
because
of Trump.
How do we
counter that?
Headline. It's
be nice.
Not okay.
Be nice to
it's
one
never
person.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you ever see how startled people are in fucking LA when you let them go ahead of you in traffic for a second?
Right.
You know, it's just like, oh, you know, but it doesn't take any more time to be nice, right?
No, it's harder to be a dick.
When you go to Delta, do you travel with rope now? Like when you go to Delta? Sir, a separate bag for your rope? And why do you have a ninja star?
I've got my hero kit.
Yes.
And why do you have Wolverine claws? Yeah. I don't understand. Richard, you've got a new album, Limitless. It is coming out, right? It features the top 15 single, Another One Down, plus 11 new, brand new songs.
Awesome.
We can pre-order at richardmarks.com. You are kicking off, holy crap, a tour that is going everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Starting in Oklahoma City,
yep.
End of January. Holy cow, cool. Pages and pages.
Lots of work this year.
This is fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank
well
you.
Deserved.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a washed up has-been, as I hear about on Twitter.
Yeah.
You are really
doing great. The has-been life is tough, let me tell you.
I thought he was going to look like Robert Hyde from what I saw on Twitter. It's the original Richard Marx is here. Richard, this was a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
Can you tell us how to get to Daisy Fuentes? Not in that way, but you know what I mean. Not a dirty way.
Yeah, I will connect you guys.
All right, fantastic. Happy, happy hour. We love you, Richard Marx.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. 2020.
a new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.